I'm talking to you today from the mercy seat. This was behind the veil. There was the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And behind the veil was where miracles took place. Behind the veil was where the glory of the Lord was revealed. Behind the veil was where restoration happens. How many of you want to leave the outer court and you want to slip behind the veil today and you want to get into the glory of the Lord? I believe we're there. Come on. But the song said this, oh Lord, I want to slip behind the veil. Oh Lord, I want to slip behind the veil. Where I come before your mercy seat to lay my worship at your feet. Oh Lord, I want to slip behind the veil. Listen now. Oh Lord, I want to slip behind the veil. Oh Lord, I want to slip behind the veil. Where I come before your mercy seat to lay my worship at your feet. Oh Lord, I want to slip behind the veil. Behind the veil. Behind the veil. Hallelujah. Oh, we want to go where you are, Jesus. So bring that text up, precious. I'm going to pray over you in a moment, and then we're going to sit down, but bring the text up in the back, please. We're going to talk today about the glory of the Lord. The Bible says here, you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered work. It says that you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, bring it back, of hammered work. You shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Next verse. Make 1 cherub at 1 end and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim at the 2 ends of it of 1 piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another, and the faces of the cherubim shall be towards the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. And there I will meet with you. And I will speak with you. Somebody just raise up your hands and say, meet with me, Lord. Somebody say, speak to me, Lord. He said, I will speak to you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I shall give you in commandment to the children of Israel. I'm going to preach for a few minutes today, miracle mercy. Does anybody need? I feel the Holy Ghost. I said, does anybody need miracle mercy today? Oh, come on, do you need more than just common mercy? Is there anybody who needs miracle mercy for your family? Miracle mercy in your mind? Miracle mercy in your finances? Miracle mercy? That's what's available. You by live stream, just slip up your hands at home. You here, slip up your hands. Father, I have just been overcome by your presence today. You have orchestrated every moment, and it is holy. So lead us now into what you have for us in Jesus' name. Thank you for miracle mercy. Somebody give the Lord a great thank you for miracle mercy today. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated. I want to spend this time with you today. I could not wait to get here to see your face and talk to you today about miracle mercy. I couldn't wait for us to come together as a family. I've written a book, and many of you have seen how I've, you know, over the years, over the last few years especially, we have an entire wilderness tabernacle. This is from the Old Testament, and Moses was instructed to build it. And it consisted of different pieces of furniture, but everything was a type and a shadow, and it pointed to things that would be fulfilled through Jesus and in the New Testament by the Holy Spirit and the power of God. But there was an outer court, an inner court, and a Holy of Holies. And this is the article that was in the Holy of Holies. The outer court, when the priest did his work out there, it was everything that was done, it was outside the tent of dwelling. And outside, it was easy to understand how that priest was able to function and how he was able to do what he did, because he was in natural light. It wasn't inside the tent. Remember, outer court, inner court, and Holy of Holies. The outer court represented the flesh realm. It's where we have to experience things with our five senses. We have to hear it. We have to see it, we have to smell it, we have to taste it, or we have to touch it, or we don't experience it. It's the flesh realm. Sadly, much of the church never leaves that flesh realm. They live out there, and the only experience they ever have is the flesh. And if they don't smell it or taste it or hear it or see it or touch it, they never experience it. So that outer court is the flesh realm, but then they would come into the inner court. And the inner court represented progression, and it was a good thing to go deeper into the tabernacle. But even in that inner court, everything that was done there was done by candlelight. So you could easily explain everything that was going on in the outer court and the inner court. You knew how the priest was able to function, precious, because he had that candlelight, and it lit the table of showbread, and it lit the altar of worship. So it was very, very logical that you could see that priest could function because of the oil in the lamp and the fire in the lamp. He could see what he was doing. And even though it represented progression, still that priest had an investment in that outside world. He still had his foot in that outside world because he was depending on somebody to bring him bread for the table and oil for the lamp. He was still counting on a man, depending on the flesh, counting on somebody to do something for him that he needed done. But I want to tell you, there was a realm that you could go into called the Holy of Holies. Now, in the Holy of Holies, you went behind the veil. And what went on there, a man didn't provide it, and a man didn't make it happen. I stopped by this morning to tell somebody that God is about to take you and me both into a realm where a man is not going to bring it to us. And a man is not going to make it happen. This next season, when God moves, he's going to get all the glory. Come on. Behind that veil, it was different. Because in the outer court, you could see that that was the flesh realm. And you knew that things were done by natural light. But in the inner court, everything was done there by candlelight. And you could explain it. But once you went behind the veil, that was the realm of no explanation. You couldn't explain the light, the glory, the power, the goings on that happened behind the veil. It's that realm of no explanation. It's that place you go in God where you say, I don't know how the cancer left me. I don't know how the children got saved. I don't know how I got the job. I don't know how my family shifted. I don't know how my marriage survived. I don't know how the door opened. I don't know how the case got settled. I don't know how the house came to me. All I know is I got out of my world and I got into his, and I can't explain it, but God moves supernaturally. Is there anybody here today? On a day we're calling miracle mercy, are you ready to get out of the flesh realm? Are you ready to get out of the realm where you can explain it, or you're depending on a man? Are you ready to move to the mercy seat and say, God, nobody but you could have done this? Are you ready? This is significant now because it's all about consecration, right? We're in 90 days, precious of consecration. I'm just talking to you out of the outflow of my heart. And that whole process that the priest went through from the brazen altar where the sacrifice was made to the brazen laver where he washed himself, it was all that priest consecrating himself and getting ready to go into the realm of no explanation. We're consecrating ourselves in this season because we believe, like the Lord told Joshua, consecrate yourself. For tomorrow I will do wonders among you. I don't know about you, but I'm expecting miracles. I said, I'm expecting miracles. So you say, well, Apostle, why do you feel so prompted to teach this today? You know, last Sunday was absolutely supernatural as I taught you about the mingled oil. How many of you are thankful for mingled oil? Come on. But we've been in this season of Rosh Hashanah, and just this week, the Jews, and they've done it throughout history, they celebrated their highest holy day called Yom Kippur, atonement, the day of atonement. If you take the word atonement and you spell it, it's A-T-O-N-E-M-E-N-T, at one ment. It's the moment when the Jews consecrated themselves. And one time a year, they were at one with Jehovah. I don't know about you, but on this day and season of atonement, I don't want anything standing between he and me. I want to be one with my Savior. I want to know his voice. I want to feel his presence. And I don't want it just to be at church. Oh, I'm thankful for the glory that came in the house today. Somebody give God praise. What an unbelievable time of worship. But I'm telling you, I am hungry for an encounter with God that doesn't stop at 1687 West Granada Boulevard or in Flagler, in New Smyrna, in Orlando, in Panama City, wherever our campuses are. I want to know a God that is with me when I'm in the car, that is with me when I'm in the struggle, with me at the doctor's office, with me when it's high and with me when it's low. I want to be at one with him. So I want you to think about Yom Kippur, the highest holy day, the most precious day to the Jewish people. It's a day like no other. And there's a process that I need somebody to help me right here. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. We all right? Somebody give God a praise. Come on. So, when we go through this process, we understand that on this precious day of atonement, it was like none other. And that priest had been on a journey. Y'all have heard me talk about it. Everything was built around God's presence. He came through one door. He comes to the altar, the brazen altar where the blood sacrifice took place. Then he goes to the brazen laver, and that's where he washed himself. And he got himself clean and prepared. And then he went inside the tent. And in the tent, there was the table of showbread, bread representing God's presence and God's word. Then there was the candlestick with the oil and the fire representing the anointing and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Anybody believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Praise the Lord. And then there was a table of worship that stood right in front of the veil that was woven about 6 inches thick. At that table of worship, that priest would take the incense of worship. It was stacked to onycha, galbanum, and pure frankincense, crushed into fine powder. And then it was made into an incense of worship. And it was poured over that table of worship. And the smoke that rose from that represented the worship of the people of God. The Lord received it as worship. That priest would stand there pouring that. It's his last stop now over that altar of worship before he goes behind the veil. He's trembling and he's there and he's pouring that oil and that incense of worship over that altar, and it's burning. That worship, that incense is stirred up and it's caught on fire. To me, it represents our worship. Our worship is not a light thing. It's not a casual thing. Some of you come to Calvary and don't understand all the emotion and all the desperation. But some of us know that when we think about the Lord and His goodness, we get stirred up about it. Come on. We weep, we cry, we shout, we dance, we clap. You say, well, Apostle, I don't act that way because, you see, I've got it, but still water runs deep. Can I tell you something? Still raw water doesn't run, honey. The Bible said, can a man receive fire in his belly and not show the effects thereof? That means if you've had an encounter with God, you're going to get stirred up at times. You may weep, you may cry, you may lift your hands, you might even dance before the Lord. But something happens. That priest is standing there and he's pouring that worship. And it's burning and it's filling the whole tabernacle with the fragrance. It's so strong now, he's trying to get here. And the last stop is worship. It's going to be worship that unlocks the supernatural. It's going to be worship that ushers him out of his world and into God's world. He's standing there and the whole tabernacle begins to smell of that precious perfume. Can you imagine? It permeates the inner court, the Holy of Holies, the outer court. And finally, it even escapes the tent. There are 12 tribes camped round about the tabernacle, and that smell of worship goes all throughout the camp. It goes into every single tribe. All 12 tribes can smell that worship. That worship was so strong, and it invaded the whole camp. I read something, actually, Pastor Kilpatrick shared it with me years ago. He said that Hebrew scholars say that there was something about the smell of that worship when it escaped the tent of dwelling and went through the camp. There was something about that smell of worship that the snakes couldn't handle. And it said that the smell of that worship ran all the snakes out of the camp. You want to run the snakes out of your life? Open your mouth and begin to worship the Lord. You want to run fear out of your life? Open your mouth and begin to bless the mighty name of Jesus. You want to experience God's presence and get the snakes out of your family? Just magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. David said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me. David said, even when I don't feel like it, I'm going to command myself to bless the Lord. How many of you got some snakes you want to chase out of your family, out of your life? Worship is the key. That priest, precious, would stand there now, and he's getting ready to slip behind the veil. He's trembling because he knows that when he goes behind the veil, there's the manifested presence of God. And he knows that if he goes behind that veil unworthily, that he will die behind that veil. It is such a critical moment. The Jewish people took it so seriously that the bottom of his garments had pomegranates and bells on them. As long as they heard the bells ringing, they knew that the priest was okay. But the moment those bells stopped ringing, they became concerned. It was such a critical time that they would tie a rope around his ankle so that if he died behind the veil, they knew they couldn't go back there, and they would pull him out by his ankle. He was standing there. Can you imagine how nervous he must have been? Can you imagine the weight of the moment that he felt? Up until that moment, precious, he has worn beautiful clothes. He has worn a crown. He has worn amazing garments. He has worn vestures and jewels. But in that moment, he takes off his crown. He takes off his beautiful garments. Anything that acknowledged him or gave him glory, he took it all off and he laid it aside because he said, the next place I go is not for my glory. The next place I go is not for my honor. He literally would strip down into a linen garment that basically represented like a slip or an undergarment. It was just a cotton, very simple garment, a linen garment. And he would stand there completely stripped down because he said, God, what can I bring into your presence? Who am I to bring anything? You are all in all. You are everything. I can't impress you, God. I'm desperate for you. That's what he was saying. He would stand there trembling, and they would pour that oil over his head. How good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil, the ointment that came down upon the beard, even upon the skirts of Aaron's garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, for there the Lord commanded his blessing. So he stands there, and they're covering him with oil. He's trembling now. He knows where he's going. He's in that atmosphere of worship. But everything about that moment is mercy. Everything about that moment is the goodness of God. Because what he does, y'all, he takes some of the coals off of that altar of worship and he puts it in a vial. He puts it in a censer and he pushes his hand behind that veil. And behind that veil, the smoke feels the presence of God. That smoky worship prepares the way. He says he puts that canister, that veil, that censer full of the coals of worship, and he fills the Holy of Holies with the smoke, and he meets the Lord in the smoke. He meets the Lord in that worship. I want to tell you, you want to meet the Lord, worship him. You want to encounter the Lord, worship him. You can't program your way in. You got to worship your way in. A denomination can't get you in. You got to worship your way in. I can't even get you in, but you can worship your way in. He would thrust it behind the veil, preparing the way, because he knew where he was going. Day of Atonement now. Smoke fills the Holy of Holies. Grace and mercy. He's dripping in oil, but he's also carrying a vial or a bowl of blood. Now, the blood is important, and don't let anybody tell you it's not. He would take with him in that smoky worship, dripping in oil. Come on, the smoke represented worship. The oil represented the Holy Spirit, and the blood represented the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he would walk in that place carrying the blood. And that bowl was pointed on the bottom. It wasn't rounded. You know why? Because he could never sit that bowl down. You know why? Because the work was never done. He couldn't set the bowl down. This is a seat, but he could never sit in it because the work was never done. He knew a year later, I'm going to have to come in here. I'm going to have to do this again because I'm not done. I'm not worthy. I'm not the sacrifice, and I'm not the ultimate high priest. I'll never get to sit in this seat, and I'll have to bring the blood again. But 2,000 years ago, there came another high priest who was also the Lamb of God. And though that Old Testament priest wanted to sit in on this seat, he never could because the work was never done. But 2,000 years ago, there was a Savior who declared, "It is finished." And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. What that priest could not do, Jesus paid it all. My, my, my. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Can I get a witness in here? Come on. So here we are now. That priest has gone behind the veil. He has the blood with him. He's dripping in oil. He's in the smoke. Worship. The Holy Ghost in the oil representation. And the blood representing the cross. See, you can't really come to the Father without the Holy Spirit drawing you. You got to have the oil. Some of you say, "Well, you know, Apostle, I'll get saved one of these days. I'll give my heart to Jesus one of these days." Can I tell you, you don't set the timeline for when you get to come to God, because you can't come to God without the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't deal with you, you will never come. And there will come a moment, and people have gotten there, when they have rejected the Holy Spirit so many times that he does not deal with them anymore. He does not give them another opportunity because they've told him no, 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 no. And they have told the Lord, "I don't care if the Holy Spirit deals with me, I'm not coming." But there is a moment for you in this service. It doesn't matter how long you've told him no, one yes, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit will usher you right to the mercy seat and change your life. We come on his terms. We think we come on ours, but you don't dictate anything to Jehovah. So he goes behind the veil. He has with him the blood. He's dripping in the oil. He's getting ready now to drop the oil or drop the blood on this mercy seat right here. There are two angels on each end of the mercy seat. The Bible says that righteousness and justice are the foundations of the throne. So one angel represents righteousness, and one angel represents justice. And we think about God's presence, and we think about his righteousness and his justice. So here these angels are. I want you to understand what this means. You have righteousness on one side and justice on the other, and then the mercy seat in the middle. We ask ourselves, who am I? How could I ever satisfy the righteousness of God? He is so holy. He is so righteous. I am not. He is so perfect, but I still struggle. How on earth could I ever settle the righteousness of God and be worthy enough to come into his presence? How about the justice of God? I've been guilty in my life. I've been guilty time and time again. How could I settle the justice of God? How on earth could I ever think I could come into his presence with him being so righteous and so just and think I could ever survive? There's only one way. Between the righteousness of God and between the judgment of God, there was a mercy seat. Mercy got in the middle. The only way that that priest was able to make it was because mercy got in the middle. God was righteous and God is just, but mercy got in the middle. Blood hit that mercy seat and mercy got in the middle. You can sit out there today and act like you are worthy and you've had it all figured out and you've done it all right, but many of us know that there's only one way that we've ever made it. It's because between the righteousness of God and the justice of God, mercy got in the middle, and we are here today as a living witness that only mercy has given us access to anything we have. It's all mercy. Righteousness and justice, blood and mercy. God help us. Somebody give God praise right now for mercy in the middle. Come on, I need to teach, but somebody give the Lord a great big thank you for mercy in the middle. Some of you don't know how you're going to make it in this next season, but I've come to tell you, you're going to make it because there's mercy in the middle. Some of you don't know how your children are going to be saved, but I'm telling you, there's mercy in the middle. Some of you don't know how your season is going to shift, but I'm telling you, there's still mercy in the middle. Thank God for the middle. I said, thank God for the middle. I said, thank God for the middle, because there's mercy in the middle. He dropped that blood on that mercy seat. And when it did, man, it shifted things. The people were covered by the goodness of God. Inside of this ark, there was actually a few things that were very precious. Inside of this ark, there were three things. First, there was the broken commandments. There were the Ten Commandments that they had broken, that Moses broke. And it represented the law of God. But the law was not given in the sense that men could know they could follow it perfectly. It was given to show that you do your best, but sometimes you struggle. And it was given to show them that they would need a Savior. Hallelujah. that they would need a covering. Anybody thankful for mercy that covered every time you transgressed, every time you broke the law, every time you did what you shouldn't have done, you were able to cry out to God. There's people that don't understand your praise. They don't understand your worship, but they don't know how faithful God has been in your life and how many times he has forgiven you and restored you. It was broken, but God said, even though you've broken and transgressed, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put mercy over these broken commandments. Come on, somebody. I said, I'm going to put mercy over these broken commandments, and I'm going to give you a chance to get put back together. What I love about it is that mercy was over the law even in those days. And when the people claimed mercy, even before they had messed up, God already had mercy in place. Even before they had fallen, God already had mercy in place. See, that's why the devil is a born loser. And no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. Because even before I struggle, before I have a bad attitude, before I let things in my life, I've already got something in place that can put my world back together again. That's a God who loves you. That's a God who cares about you. Oh, the enemy doesn't want you to know it, but before you ever sinned, God already put a way back for you to be restored in his presence. It's miracle mercy. I said it's miracle mercy. The Bible said that the wonder of Jesus is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Man, they got them way back in here. They're making me reach for it, y'all. So there was the broken commandments. But then, there was the manna. It fell 6 days a week. And they were allowed to go and get the manna. And God provided. But watch this. He provided for them when they were in the desert. He provided for them when they were struggling. He provided for them when they didn't deserve it. It's mercy manna. Y'all don't want to help me. They were griping, complaining, and struggling, but the manna was still falling. They had issues, but the manna was still falling. They weren't everything that they should have been, but it was mercy manna. There's some of us here today, and God has blessed us right in the middle of our struggle. God has blessed us when we hadn't got it all right. Is there anybody in this service today or online watching me who can say, Apostle, I'm only here because I've got miracle manna in my life? That means even when I wasn't getting it right, even when I was struggling, even when the enemy was coming against me, even when I was thinking wrong, speaking wrong, feeling wrong, still the manna fell. See, sometimes you got to stop and say, God, I thank you for every time you blessed me when I was acting the fool. Come on, somebody. Every time you blessed me when I wasn't praying, you blessed me when I wasn't giving, you blessed me when I was struggling. It's mercy manna. It's that manna that falls when we don't deserve it. It's that strength that comes, young person, when we're not where we need to be. It's mercy manna. Oh, I don't know about you. I'm living on mercy manna. I got three people who's living on it with me. I'm not saying that I have any blatant sin in my life that I know of, but And I'm going to tell you this. I still have moments when I don't measure up. Come on, somebody that's real in here. I still have moments when I need to be more. I still have moments when I wrestle internally. I still have moments when I wrestle with how I feel and my thoughts are not where they need to be. And I don't forgive at the speed I ought to forgive. Y'all pray for me. I know you're better than me and you got it figured out, but pray for your weaker brother, because I still have some issues in my life and God is still working on me. But in spite of my struggle, he still drops the manna in my life. In spite of my struggle, I still wake up in the morning and say, God, you are good, for your mercy endures forever. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody right now ought to thank God for some mercy manna that's fallen in your life. My whole story is mercy. Even today, it's mercy. That broken law, that mercy manna, it's so precious because the blood covered mercy seat is right over the manna and the broken law. But then there was Aaron's rod that budded. Oh, this is good right here. Because this is not planted in the ground. It's not where it should be. Y'all ain't saying nothing. It's not planted, but it's still blossoming. It's still budding. The favor of the Lord is still on it. It ought to be dead, but it's still bringing forth fruit. Y'all better help me. I said it ought to be dead, but it's still producing. Oh, let me tell you, one of the things that the devil is most mad about is because he thought you were dead and he thought you were done. But let me tell you, you're still producing fruit because of the mercy of the Lord. Are you tracking with me? Make a little noise if you're hearing what apostles teaching today. Come on, this is deep water. I said, this is deep water. This is a moment for believers to grow in your faith. Everything that says increase has to come in a conventional setting, but not with God. God can cause you to produce in impossible situations. I said, God can cause you to produce when the world says it's impossible and your marriage is dead. No, it's not, devil. Your future is dead. No, it's not, devil. Your potential is dead. No, it's not, devil. I'm not depending on the conventional ways of this world. I am connected to mercy. And in spite of the fact that it looked like I can't do it, I can do all things through Christ. He'll save your children. And they ain't even planted in the house of the Lord. He'll rescue them at a club. Come on, somebody. He'll meet you at a crack house. Y'all don't want to help me preach. He'll meet you in an impossible situation. This is Aaron's rod, and this was the rod that most likely when they stood before Pharaoh and they threw their rod down and their rod ate the snakes of Pharaoh's rods. You remember when they turned into snakes? And come on, somebody. You know what that tells me? That tells me when I'm connected to God, every snake can be devoured. Every agenda of hell can be devoured. Come on, every bit of your past can be devoured. Every failure devoured. Every attack of the enemy, I gotta let the snakes know. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Somebody needs to send every snake in your life, every devil in your life, every demonic attack in your life. I'm at the mercy seat. Hallelujah. I'm underneath mercy. And watch this. Aaron's rod budded, brought forth fruit. Usually, it takes about 1.5 to 2 years for an almond tree to bud, but this happened overnight. Honey, when God gets ready to bless you, he can do it so quick it'll make your head spin. I bind every spirit of delay that's set on your life and mine. I bind every spirit of delay that's set over your family. I take authority over it in the mighty name of Jesus. If you're watching me by live stream, preacher, I bind every spirit of delay off of your life, and I release in the next season, hallelujah, a season of acceleration. Somebody receive it right now, that God would supernaturally bring things together. Well, Apostle, I'm not ready, I'm not prepared, I'm not this, I'm not that. It don't matter when God gets ready to bless you. My granny would say, he'll do it lickety-split. I'm thankful that the dead things in my life are under the mercy seat. And what I thought was dead, what I thought was over. Somebody right now, God's given you faith to believe. It's not over. It's not finished. It's not ending. It's only the beginning. When God is in it, all things are new. Somebody give God praise that it's not over, it's not finished, it's not ending. Somebody say it's only the beginning. Yeah. I declare it by faith that it's only the beginning. Don't you dare quit. Don't you give up. There's mercy in this season. Somebody give God a shout like you believe it. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul. Rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound. Yeah. You know, I've kind of wondered, you can be seated. I wonder if that priest, when he was in there, when he's in the presence of God, if he's just saying, you're worthy, Jehovah. Jehovah, you are wonderful. Jehovah Nisi, fight your battles. Come on. Jehovah Jireh, meet my need. Jehovah Rapha, heal my body. Jehovah Shalom, be my peace. So here he is now. It's all covered by mercy. I dare you just to raise up your hands and say it's all covered. You ever just felt like a relief? You go, ooh. Somebody just ought to just say, thank you, Lord. Somebody just say, it's all covered. My family is covered. My daughter is covered. My son is covered. My past is covered. My future is covered. I got a big mercy seat over my life. I got a big mercy seat over my family. There's a big, gigantic mercy seat over this church. I'm going to try to land this plane. How many of you getting anything out of this right now? So there was an instruction that these two angels, righteousness, justice, mercy in the middle. This is a mercy seat. Can I tell you at Calvary, we're not building a judgment seat. We're building a mercy seat. You better pray we don't build a judgment seat. If we build a judgment seat, I won't be able to be your pastor. But I'm glad today that there is a mercy seat in this house, that no matter how far you've fallen, there is mercy for you. Let me tell preachers, listen, some of you wonder how we've made it so long. Don't in our 28 years here, we've got 10 campuses. To God be the glory. He gets all the praise. But let me tell you, every campus, you know what we've built? We built a mercy seat, not a judgment seat. It's a whosoever will, let him come. Listen, if you're struggling, come to our church. If you're bound by sexual sin, come to our church. If you're addicted, come to our church. If you're divorced, come to our church. If you're jacked up, come to our church. If you're confused, come to our church. There is a mercy seat that can set you free. Hallelujah. And we got it on every campus. You better build a mercy seat and not a judgment seat. So you've got these two angels. That priest, now remember, he's dripping in oil. He's carrying blood. Wave at me if you're tracking. Meeting in the smoke. But these angels, they're unique, because what they truly represent too is worship. They bring their wings together and they worship. And mercy manifests in the middle of their worship. See how they're bowed and their wings are together? But the thing about these angels is you've got to understand, they are not a cast work. They didn't just pour them in a cast and then they put them and attached them to the mercy seat. No, they are a beaten work. They come through fire. And then they're beaten into position. And see, sometimes the devil thinks that the warfare that we're in is going to turn us away from God. When he attacks our family, he thinks he's going to push us away from God. When he attacks our children, when he attacks our finances, every blow, I'm gonna move them away from God now. They won't serve the Lord. Boom, every blow. They think that we're gonna take our wings and we're gonna turn away from God. But he does not know that every hammer blow of life, every time he hits us, every time he strikes us, every time a weapon that tries to be formed against us, every time we struggle, all it does is turn us to the mercy seat. All that does is cause us to call upon the name of the Lord. If the devil had any sense, he would leave you alone. You might not be here today. And you say, Apostle, what are you saying? I'm saying everything you're going through. Every time he hits you, every time the enemy comes against you, just let your battered wings of worship come together. And baby, let me tell you about this church. We're imperfect people. If you want a perfect church, you don't want to come to this church. But let me tell you what we've learned to do. We get our battered wings of worship together. We come in here and it ain't perfect and everything's not right all the time, but we've let our battered wings of worship, we get them together and we get them together. There's a mercy seat that gets in the middle of our worship. Oh, that's what you need to do. Just get your battered wings of worship. We get our battered wings of worship, and every blow, when my wings and your wings come together. Come here, baby. Watch now. Every blow. Every blow puts us together. And mercy gets in the middle. Oh, I dare you to tell your neighbor mercy is in the middle. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't you know why we've survived all these years? Mercy is in the middle. We're about to celebrate 37 years on October 14th. And every day has been grace. But every day, mercy has been in the middle. Who needs mercy to get in the middle right now? Stand up, everybody. Come up, Courtney. See, the Bible says, everybody stand. Nobody leave if you can bear it. We're in the presence of God. I want you to imagine now. The Bible said that these angels were to be a beaten work. I dare you to tell your neighbor, I'm a beaten work. Yeah, it hasn't been, not I'm a beaten work, I've been defeated. But my life hasn't always been easy. But I'm thankful for the mercy seat in the middle. So I'm gonna open these altars in a moment for people to find mercy. That's why if you're in such a hurry that you can't let people be saved, I hope it's real, real important. I hope whatever reason you would run out for, I'm talking to you like a father. I sure hope it's important. Because there is nothing more important in this world than somebody finding their way to the mercy seat. Somebody raise up your hands and say miracle mercy. Oh, yes. In this season of atonement, I'm at the mercy seat. You got a child that needs miracle mercy, call their name out right now. Hallelujah. Go ahead. You got a brother or a sister that needs miracle mercy. Call their name out right now. You got a situation in your life that's going to take miracle mercy. Just give it to God right now. I believe we've somehow taught our way and worshiped our way behind the veil. Hallelujah. You got an issue that you're dealing with. Just declare it right now to the Lord. Don't worry about your neighbor. You just say, Lord, I'm counting on you. You got a financial need. You who are watching by live stream, you who are listening to this podcast, you need to stop right now and declare a miracle mercy. Mercy over your situation. Miracle mercy over your church. Miracle mercy over your family. Miracle mercy over your issues. Somebody needs to say miracle mercy over your finances. Somebody needs to say miracle mercy over a doctor's report. Somebody needs to say miracle mercy over a son that is in rebellion right now. Somebody needs to declare miracle mercy over a daughter right now. That's not where she needs to be. I hear you, Holy Spirit. Somebody needs to declare miracle radical mercy over your family, over your marriage right now. Somebody needs to declare miracle mercy in your home, that your home is not going to be filled with drama, that your home is going to be filled. Wave your hands and say, miracle mercy. Hallelujah. It's coming to my family. It's coming to me. Miracle mercy's in this church right now. Miracle mercy. Oh God, we're transcending the outer court. We don't want to be in the flesh realm. We don't want to be in the inner court where we're relying on a man. But God, take us into a realm of miracle mercy, where the manna comes because of mercy, mercy manna, where the sin and the broken laws are covered because of mercy, 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 where we bud and we produce fruit because of mercy. Lord, we bring our battered wings together and we worship you now. We worship you. Sing it, Courtney. Come on. Raise up your hands. Everybody sing. Hallelujah.
Come on, beloved, wave your hands and declare I'm a miracle. I'm a miracle.
I declare that every need that you have, every issue that you have, that I have, Lord, we come to the mercy seat. We bring our families. We bring our future. We bring our lives. We bring our brothers, our sisters, our sons, our daughters, every issue. And we put it at the mercy seat. And we receive now a new future, a fresh hope, a redeemed past. We receive it by faith. Lord, some people are here today and they're saying, I don't deserve mercy. But here's the truth. If you deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you'd say, Apostle, I need this mercy that you've been talking about. I've got sin in my life. I need that mercy because I need to get things under the blood. And I know that you're going to pray. And I want to walk out of here knowing that my life is right, that my sin is forgiven. I'm a sinner, and I need to have some miracle mercy in my life because I'm not where I need to be with God, and I need to commit my life or either recommit my life to Jesus because I've been distant, and I haven't been who I need to be. Jim Raley, I've come in this room and I've never felt anything like this before. I feel the Holy Spirit drawing me. If there's sin in your life, if you're a sinner, you're watching my live stream and you need miracle mercy, when I count to three, raise your hand. I'm not where I need to be. One, I need to get right with God today. Two, three, slip your hand up right now. Hands in every section. Hands, oh my, my. Hatakashinananamaya. Come on, I got to get this sin under the blood. I got to get it right with God. I want to leave here today saved. I want to leave here today walking in God's mercy. Five more seconds. Five, four. If you need hands across the room, by live stream, somebody may be raising their hand at their house right now. Three, two, I see it. One. In Jesus' name. If you raised your hand and you truly meant it and you're ready for a transformation moment, I want the altar workers to come. But I want everybody who raised your hand and you're ready for a new beginning, miracle mercies in the room. Come right now. Come right now. Come right now. Hallelujah. You won't come alone. I guarantee you. Come on. Here they come. Here they come now. Come even from the balcony, come from the stadium. Look at this, y'all. Look at this. Here they come. Here they come. Young person, is this your moment? Come right here. Bring them right to the front. Bring them to the middle. Bring them over here. Oh, yes. Here they come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Bring them all the way across. Bring them all the way across. Look at all the young people that are coming. Look at the families that are coming. Come on. Hallelujah. Look at the moms and the dads that are coming. I wish that you guys just come on in. Help them right on through. Help them right on through. Right on through. Come on. Let's press on in. John, help them get in, son. Help me with them, John. Let's spread them across the front because I want everybody to have somebody to pray with them. Oh, they're still coming. They're still coming. I said they're still coming. They're still coming. They're still coming. I want everybody to take your hand right now and I want you to put it on your heart. Man, I believe so much in you guys. I believe in your purpose. I believe in what God has for you. What's your name, bud? Come here, Donald. Donald, how old are you? 22. You know what I see right here? I see so much potential. I think God can use Donald. I think God's got a plan for Donald. You need today, bud. You need a new start, don't you? You really do. Today's a great day for you, bud. I'm proud of you. You hear me? I believe in you. Whatever's in the past, we're going to let it go. Okay? You've been disappointed, let down by some people. But God's given you a new start today. I want to see more of you, okay? I want to see you connected. I believe in you, Donald. You need this, man. Come here, bud. What's your name, buddy? Cole. How old are you, Cole? 43. You look good, man. God is good. Listen, I just felt like the Lord said to tell you, don't look back anymore. You ain't going that way. The best is in front of you. God's brought you a long way, bud. He's been unusually good to you. There's something that today, Cole, what'd you say your name was?
Cole.
You know what Cole does? It burns. That's what you're going to do from here on out. You're going to burn like never before. That's what I declare. You're going to burn for Jesus, bud. I believe in you, son. Forward is where you're headed. Miracle mercy. Hand on your heart. I feel this in my spirit. How old are you, buddy? 16? Oh, this is just the right time for you. 16 years old, giving it all to Jesus. You're going to be hell's worst nightmare. Amen. See, sometimes you just got to talk to people because this is real. This is real life. You hear me? This is real life, and God meets us right where we are. He comes right into our moment, and it's personal. So I want you to put your hand on your heart right now, and I want you to raise up your other hand. And I want some of my workers, I want you guys, John and Kim, y'all just surround them, if you will. Randy and Debbie, y'all surround them. Gary and Susie, y'all all surround them if you're up here, because I feel like this is such a significant moment. Hallelujah. There's something about the mercy seat, y'all, and we're at it. If you're on my staff, I want you to come and surround these right now if you're on our staff. Hallelujah. Everybody pray this prayer after me. Pray, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I need miracle mercy. I'm trying
too much by myself.
I need help. And I'm so glad
that you said
they that call on the name of the Lord
shall be saved.
Jesus, I'm calling on you now. Jesus, I'm calling on you now. Jesus, I'm calling on you now. Forgive me. Cleanse me. I confess all my sins, and you are faithful to give me a new beginning. Thank you now that you got me right here to the mercy seat. Help me live here in Jesus' name. I'll never be the same. My family will never be the same. My future will never be the same. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for miracle mercy. Everybody press in now. All my altar workers, y'all press in and pray. Everybody else, slip your hands toward them. How many of you are going to chew on this word the rest of this week? Are you? Here's what I'm going to tell you. Stretch out your hands. I speak it over you. We're going to pray over these. But I speak it over myself too. Today, live out of the mercy seat. Live out of the goodness of God. So we stretch our hands toward these right now. We decree and declare that this is not some casual prayer. It's going to be prayed, declared, and forgotten. But we declare that these precious people will never be the same again. We declare a new beginning for these families and a fresh start in the name of Jesus. Now, all of you, I bless you this week. I declare that you don't have to perform, that you walk in the mercy of the Lord. I declare that the mercy seat doesn't stay in this church. It's in your car, it's in your home, it's on your job. And I declare there's miracle mercy that goes with you every step of the way, every mile of the way, in Jesus' name. Now, if you're our special guest, stop in the back and see us. We love you so much. Somebody give God a shout for mercy. Come on. You can be dismissed. Courtney, will you sing it? Miracle Mercy. Thanks for watching the message. I'm sure this spoke to you. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you subscribe to this YouTube channel? That way, every time there's a new message, you'll get to hear it. Also, many of you have watched this. Some of you watch on a regular basis. Why not take time and sow? You can give at calvaryfl.com. You can give on your phones, and you can be a part of helping us take this message around the world, the message of hope, the message of Jesus Christ. Can't wait to see you back here real soon.